Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Goff, takes a snap out of the shotgun, 4th and 2. Fades back, throws it down the field. Josh Reynolds open in the end zone. Oh, he catches it. Lions take a big lead with 1 minute left in the game.
Oh, it's a sound that we wish we heard. But alas, Josh Reynolds did not catch the 4th and 2 bomb. And the Lions end up giving the ball back to the Dolphins. They get a first down on a pass, and they lose. So this is Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew before we get into the rest of it. Big Z, we got Connor.
Yo.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And UJ.
Oh yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment. Let's do this.
So unfortunately, we're kind of back to where we were for a couple weeks ago, and more of the same. Big offense, no defense.
This is what the Kool-Aid's
about. But even
the
big offense couldn't score in the second half. It was all in the first half.
Games like
the Lions fall to 1-6. Yeah, and as a result of this game, Aubrey Pleasant got fired today. The defensive backs coach, who got a lot of praise last year, had a lot of hype coming in this season, as well as possible defensive coordinator and of the future with Aaron Glenn going to be a head coach somewhere after season. Well, that all did. It's going the opposite way. This defense is absolutely terrible by every measure. 382 yards to Tua on a struggling offense. This was a struggling offense coming into this week. 188 yards to Tyreek Hill, 106 yards to Waddle. And Dan Campbell said in his press conference, well, two things. I guess yesterday after the game, he said the Lions did not execute the game plan that they played all week. They said they knew what the Dolphins were going to do. They did it, and they didn't execute it, and it seemed like they're putting some of the blame on that execution on Aubrey Pleasant, because he said that they wanted to press those receivers at the line. He said he wanted to press the receivers at the line, get physical with them. If you go back and watch it, watch the game like I was doing this evening, there is no physicality at the line whatsoever. They're going now. The Dolphins do a good job of motioning their receivers and stuff to get them free at some points, but I mean, there's absolutely no, they're just letting him run free off the line. No press or anything like that. And I think that's a big reason why.
Hey, let's face it. We're just appeasing the fans' bloodlust right now to, keep them off our backs for another week.
I wouldn't mind firing every coach on this defense, to be honest.
Well, boys, this is what happens. I know we're going through a rebuilding and it's tough, but man, I mean, I hate to say this, but we just got to wait this one out, man. No judgment this year. Oof. Just can't be, in my opinion. And I know, but I'm taking the long road here because, listen, I've been following this team a lot longer than any of you guys. And I've been through this lemon. If I can wait a little longer, you guys can do it too.
So should we have kept Anthony Lynn then, by that logic?
No.
Why can't we fire the offensive coordinator but not the defensive coordinator? What's the difference?
No, well, okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you were more kind of insinuating breaking up the whole coaching staff kind of thing.
No, I was thinking mostly anyone involved with this atrocious defense. I'm still in on Campbell. I think everyone here is, but Aaron Glenn has a lot to answer for, I would think.
He does. I agree with that. And if that was the case and that was their game plan, why weren't they trying to correct it during the game? Or were they? And were the guys just not doing it? Or are they incapable of doing it? Or I don't know.
I think one thing is true here, though. A fuse is lit on Dan Campbell now. Once you start firing your staff, I mean, I guess it started last year, but you're in year two. Like, once you start firing your staff that are supposed to be the core guys of what you were building here, which by all metrics, Pleasant was, your vision's not so obvious anymore. Like you got to keep selling it. But when you're getting rid of guys like Pleasant, I feel like that's not a good sign. But obviously, that's a symptom of the losses, right? Like you said, it's bloodletting. We needed it. But I don't know if that's the... I'm kind of with Connor on this one. I think Glenn's more to blame here. Like, it's his whole scheme. And it's not just the pass coverage. But, I mean, I think Z said it right about the not executing on the game plan. I mean, how does that happen? Right? Like, that does that have to be the position coach, or does that go on Glenn? I mean, I'm guessing Glenn said, hey, what the hell too? So, I mean, maybe it's legit, but it feels weird that it's the lowest guy on the totem pole when Glenn is running an epically bad defense.
Yep. I mean, the Lions are giving up, I'm pulling up right now, 32.1 points per game. That's 5 worse than the next closest defense. And the Lions have also given up the most touchdowns in the NFL by a pretty wide margin, and they have played, you know, they've had their bye week already, so they played one less game than a lot of these other teams. They still have given up the most. It's brutal to watch. The Lions are the worst third down defense. The Dolphins averaged 11 yards on third down in this game, in the first three brutal. Quarters. You wouldn't even know it.
But that's one of the
things. Quite honestly, another thing, I thought, you know, they need a better pass rush, and I went back and watched. Tua's releasing that ball in like 1.5, 2 seconds. So
exactly.
I kind of agree more with the assessment of maybe it's more on the DBs than I originally thought watching the game. Although there are some instances where there's a lot of play action and the Lions aren't out there Tua gets 4 seconds to throw.
Did you guys notice it though? That press was not there, because I even felt like it was obvious during the game. Like, I was wondering when we were going to get to see Okuda up on the line trying to like throw freaking Hill to the ground and stuff like he was doing on all those guys early in the season. So that's so weird. But I mean, isn't that on the play calls then? I don't know. Like, but we should have needed. We have big dudes. Why aren't you throwing dudes around?
Yeah. It seems like nothing is clicking anywhere on this defense. Like, everything is going wrong all the time, which to me brings it back to Aaron Glenn, who is ultimately the man responsible for the harmony of this defense. Mm-hmm. And there is none anywhere to be seen. And I know the personnel aren't great. This was a full rebuild. You know, Hutch is step 1 of 10, maybe. But this is unacceptable. Like, you got to scheme for the personnel you have, and they haven't done.
Do you guys think?
And they've taken a scary long time to adjust. It's Halloween.
Do you think Dan Campbell's too affectionate of Glenn? Because that's a sense I'm starting to get. Like, maybe this is his guy, and he really wants it to happen with him. So you fire the guy beneath him.
Because they were together in New Orleans for all those years. So.
You know, it's got to be
a good point
from that standpoint. I mean, imagine one of your best friends. He's probably staying up late trying to decide whether he should fire his best friend.
I know.
I mean, it can't be an easy thing to do, but it's the nature of this business, unfortunately. And, he's going to come to some realities eventually, because if he wants to keep the head coaching job, he's going to have to make a lot of stuff.
One thing in Glenn's defense, though, it's not exactly a defense because it doesn't really matter, but the defense doesn't always look so bad. Like, they show it in like spurts where they look like they should be good, and then all of a sudden everything falls apart, and it's just like they hold tight for 3 good plays. And they go for a 4th, and it's a long one, and it's a big one. And then, like, the first half of this game was a different story than the second half. Like, I know they started to loosen up as the half went on, but they were playing tight defense. They were hitting guys as they were catching balls. And later in the game, it was like they weren't even in the same vicinity of these guys when they were catching the ball. And I don't know. It's like that consistency.
But that third down, man, that third down
kills
is brutal. It didn't matter how many yards they had to go. They had no problem getting it. Third and 18, third and 15. Didn't matter. Just did not matter at all. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, they put up a couple good plays, and then you knew they were going to blow it on third down. You just knew it. It was coming. It's horrible. That's a tough thing to watch. Oh, man.
Like I said, they were averaging 11 yards. There's a 4th and 2 early in the game that the Dolphins easily completed. AJ Parker. If you go back and watch him,
bad. Brutal.
Oh, boy. Horrible. I mean, left on an island or in man a lot on Waddle in this one. It was rough. Now Tyreek Hill.
That's on Aubrey Pleasant. Why was he just leaving his guys on man? Oh wait, no, that's not his call. Sorry.
Yeah. But I mean, Tyreek Hill, like on the 3rd and 12, I believe in it was in the first half at some point. I can't remember second quarter, first quarter. It's 3rd and 12, and Tua gets the ball. It's like an all-out blitz, and they just let Tyreek Hill run right by them. I was just confounded by how it's just frustrating to watch. Tyreek Hill is really good, though. You also got to appreciate how fast that guy is right off the ball.
I mean, he's ridiculous.
So there's some appreciation there, but man,
the first half looked reasonable. Like honestly, I was like, I figured these guys were gonna get over on us a couple times, but then the second half was like, oh, they got on over us all the time. Like, I mean, just you got to do something, though. You know, he doesn't do this to everybody. Not all, you know. I mean, he does, just not that consistently. They can disrupt it.
Yeah. Well. Positives? Malcolm Rodriguez got a sack in this
one. That was
one.
Nice.
Kirby Joseph laid another whack on the receiver over the middle.
He was a beast.
You know, he wasn't really known for his tackling, per se, but that's two games in a row. He's absolutely laid the smack on somebody
over
the middle.
Human buzzsaw there.
So I think receivers are going to think twice catching it over the middle going forward.
Also, he does the dope flip when he comes out of the tunnel to open the game.
Yeah.
That looks so sick. He's becoming a favorite of mine real quick.
Small positive there, at least, right?
Well, yeah, there was actually a lot of good plays. They just couldn't create even, you know, nearly enough of them.
I mean, Goff played well. I mean, you got to give him props. I think he played a really good game for the most part.
Goff, well, I mean, the first half, for sure.
But the second half, it didn't feel like it was most him as much as his team getting beat around him, too. I mean...
Yeah, and I thought he made a good throw on that fourth down. Josh Reynolds just got to catch it.
Alligator
I
arm.
Problem with the call.
But maybe that's not a great call.
I thought it was a horrible
bold call. Reynolds
wasn't his first option. Reynolds was his third option in that play. Hockenson was covered. Amon Ra was covered. So I thought they should have ran it there. With the success they were having on the ground this game. Jamal Williams averaged 5 yards a carry in this game. But he only had 10 carries. He continues to look like the better running back than Swift, which is why I think Williams had 10 carries and Swift only had 5 for 6 yards.
Yeah.
And that includes 1 for 7 yards. Swift looked like he looked very timid running the ball in this game.
I agree with you. Yeah. If he wasn't ready, why the hell is he out there?
I mean, he's ready to be a receiver. He looked good in the receiving game. He put a little Theo Riddick move on him over the middle. Classic Madden play in the red zone.
That's the best play, the running back angle route over the middle. Yep. Oh, my God. Killer.
That's a tough one if you're a linebacker to cover. That's so hard. Yeah. That's so difficult.
Tim is a good word, Z.
Yeah.
He doesn't look very gritty right now.
Swift?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he was afraid to, like, I was like, scared to see him get tackled.
I know.
Because it looked like he didn't want to lay his shoulder down. So when he got tackled on his shoulder, I'm like, uh-oh. He's going to get up and like...
Plus he's...
And he was shaking it a little bit when he got up. So.
Plus he's been out so long, and I don't know. Some people seem to be questioning whether or not he should have been out that long or should have needed to be out that long. And I wonder if that's just not Deuce Staley getting everyone's head... I can't believe they put that on Hard Knocks, honestly. Him getting called out like that. talk about putting a thing in people's heads, the thought of him being soft. But I don't know. Just the fact that he's been out so long on a seemingly minor injury is not encouraging. And then coming back.
As far as the offense goes, a big problem I had in the second half was they looked a little more undisciplined in the second half. Like, you would have thought they were the rogue team with all the false starts half in this game.
Well, see, that's what bugs me, because you should come out in the second half. You got to make a statement early in the second half when you come out. And what did we do? The exact opposite, man.
What is it? That was backwards
horrible.
Down the field.
Oh, God.
And then supposedly our best players doing it, too. Sewell and Decker. Good Lord. That was horrible. That set the tone right there for the second half.
Yeah.
Right there.
It really did.
It did.
we'd already given up points too.
Yeah. So I mean,
yeah, no, that was bad.
Yeah, first and 30 is almost impossible to convert unless you get like a,
unless you're the like Dolphins a holding against the Lions.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, that was a tough, that was tough to watch, especially where we were at in the game too. That was like, you know, it just piled on the momentum that the Dolphins were carrying at that point in the game.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just can't seem to pull back from it either. You know what I mean? Like, these guys can't come up with something
to disrupt the pattern,
spark. And I don't know if that's just, we don't have the right players, you know, cause like great teams with great players, like one guy might find a way to do something awesome to turn a game around or something. We don't have anybody really doing that kind of thing, or maybe it's the right call or something, but no one, we don't have that spark, that thing.
Not at the end of the game. We get the fumble early, right? Like, you get those plays early, but in the second half, they're nowhere to be found.
Which makes you wonder if it's just strictly talent. I mean, we just don't have that big playmaker guy, that the guy you can come out.
Are we that bad on talent? Are we? Like, see, that's the thing. I think the question that it keeps getting asked to me kind of answers it. I think everyone says this team passes the eye test, that our record does not represent the talent on the field. Ergo, it's coaching that's failing this team. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I don't know if it's the whole truth, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. Like, it's hard not to look at this coaching staff as the problem. I think a good coach, you'd expect them to handle this team and win games. Like, these are games they should have won already, several of them.
Yeah. Well, maybe another reason Aubrey Pleasant was fired is because he couldn't teach Monty Warrior how to line up off on sides.
Yeah, right.
In this game. It was one of the funniest penalties you ever see. He's like a yard behind the line of scrimmage lining up. It is hilarious. Like, the ball's on the half yard line and he's like standing on the 1 yard line. Like, and, oh my God.
And man. Once wasn't enough. He had to do it twice.
I know. That's the second time. That's the second time this year Aurier has been like consecutively penalized for the same
Maybe he's
thing.
Been
like,
concussed.
He's repeating the same mistakes.
Like, what the hell are you looking at?
Maybe he's been concussed.
And he's also horrible in coverage again. Like,
he
horrible.
Needs to be sat down. Something happened since last year. He's not the same player he was. Get him off the field.
Totally, I mean, agree with that.
But this was happening in training camp too with him. Like, he looked terrible in training camp by all the reports we read. The Lions are stuck because they don't have.
Yeah, what do you go
they have,
to?
Like, no depth at the position.
Jerry so Jacobs coming back, but then he was out.
That's the same grave, yeah. But he's on IR still, I think, so he's not going to be back.
What?
Time, so.
Jerry Jacobs? He played last week.
Somebody else. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry.
He's coming back.
He played at the end of the game against the Patriots, I think.
He did, but I thought he's back on the IR.
No. I think you're thinking of.
No, they're still working him back in. I think. I think they have him on a pitch count.
I think you're right. Sorry. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, they're just trying not to bring him in all at once. I think they want to just gradually work him in.
Well, but that was the other thing I wanted to bring up. Then, I mean, as tough as this is to watch, and it is very tough to watch, just remember the Lions drafted Jameson Williams in the first round, knowing he probably wouldn't play most of this year. So that should have been indicated enough about where they see themselves.
Well, Martha told the truth
forward about
it, right? She came out in Fort. Yeah. She came out and said, told us that we're in a, we tore ourselves down to the studs. This was always going to be an epic rebuild. She basically admitted that retool was just marketing, like, and just the line to get every, you know, to make sure people stay on board. But like she said, we tore to the studs.
It's so hard in the moment to accept.
I think it's
that,
a bullshit excuse, by the way. Yeah. I don't think it's honest. I think that's just something to give us any kind of tidbit at this point. I don't think the tear down to the studs. I think. Is the problem. I think, again, we're not that bad at talent. This team, you look at this roster, compare it to 0-16, and it's night and day. This team has infinitely more talent than that team ever had. And, I mean, it's the coaching. There's no other answer for it. But it's also the players. I don't know!
I also want to throw out there, the Lions have the toughest strength of schedule in the NFL this season. And it's actually not even close. They have, like, it's easily... Now, caveat that with the fact the strength of schedule is higher because they have given a win to each of those teams that they played, 6 of the 7.
Right.
So the strength of schedule is going to go higher when you have that many losses. But as it stands right now, the Lions have the first overall pick in the NFL draft this season and today. Now there's still 10 games to go. But they're just ahead of Houston, who's 1-5-1 and also a terrible, awful-looking team. And they also have the 13th pick overall, the Rams, who are 3-4 right now. So let's get rooting for the Rams.
Hey, you guys remember how Dan Campbell said before in a time in football, like in sports, like when there's been a time of great suffering, it's awful and followed by like a time of great triumph, like some like he didn't tell us that he was going to provide the suffering first. That was just the part of the plan. Like he was hinting that, hey guys, you know, he was discounting all the suffering we had already gone through.
You know, I'd be really curious to see opinion of Chris Spielman. Like, he was one of the guys that I was really excited that they hired in the offseason as an advisor and whatever. And we know what kind of player he was, and he played on some good teams. And I'd be curious, like, what he thinks of what's going on around here. You know, we never hear about him. He's all behind the scenes and all
right.
that. But there's a voice I would clearly like to hear an opinion on of what he thinks is going on right now.
Yeah, and he's probably not obligated to talk to the media or anything like that.
Oh, I'm sure. So sure, he's
never
not
hear from him.
It's just personally, I would love
right.
to hear,
oh yeah, for sure.
You know what he thinks.
So, be interesting.
Yeah. So who on our defense right now is a building block for you guys?
Hutch, Rodrigo,
Hutch, who, constantly. Hutch had no impact on this game again, but he also was double teamed a lot.
Yeah.
He needs some help from somebody.
Hutch, Rodrigo, Okuda, maybe Pascal. He's looking very promising still, even though he didn't do anything great yet. But that I'd say about that.
Beyond that.
Oh, yeah. Kirby. Yeah. I think Kirby could be one.
Kirby Joseph. Yeah, all the young guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought of Warrior before this year.
This team needs everything.
Ali McNeil is... to me, he's at best a rotational DN, from what I've seen.
McNeil?
He disappointed me.
D tackle.
Yeah, I thought we'd see a lot more of him.
I think he could be a really good number two next to a better player, because I think if you free him up a little bit with better play next to him, you're going to see his speed and stuff do more damage. I also still think they should just keep chipping away at his weight and make him a leaner, faster athlete. You have to have all the speed you can muster in this sport league nowadays. And the extra, I mean, though, the problem is he's the biggest dude we have. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. Because our other D tackles are horrible. Thank God Michael
Brockers
what do
we have?
Is, like, long gone. Like, Bugs, if you go watch Bugs, the first play of the game, he just gets blown out of the hole. And then Malcolm Rodriguez is left to take on a right guard 5 yards.
Honestly, elite D tackle.
And he did his best he could, but. I've been saying it, lengthy tackle. That should be like a priority.
Yeah.
High priority. We still haven't seen Romeo Aquara, our top paid defensive end yet this year. Who knows if we'll ever play another down at this rate?
Yeah.
Do you think Thor is?
The Lions are gonna say, what's that?
Thor is the building block.
Thor.
Angeloni? Yeah. Oh, okay. I never heard him called Thor.
You never heard?
Is that his nickname?
You never heard that?
I don't think I have.
Maybe you should watch the thing called Hard Knocks.
Did they call him Thor?
I don't know. I've seen it multiple times.
I feel like that's a nickname you got to earn. Like, you got to be somewhat good to be called Thor.
He just looks like it.
Not
just
have
not
hair.
I know. I can understand the reference now, but it doesn't feel earned to me.
So that's a no then?
Yeah. Even Rodrigo, that sack was great. I love that. He had high motor, but then settled his feet down to make sure he didn't like run by him like we've seen Hutch do a few times this year.
He had a pass defense too, which was excellent over the middle of the field. That was fantastic. When he got a hand on the ball, like a 5'11" little guy can get up there and knock a pass down. I love it.
Yeah, Julian Aquara leaves a lot to be desired still off the edge. We haven't seen him do, especially this would be pass rush. He's horrible in the run game. And he is nearly non-existent in the pass rush, from what I've seen.
Well, he's got, 9 games to figure it out?
I guess so, yeah.
Well, this is getting depressing, guys. We got to come up with something good.
Well,
say,
I mean, Amon Ra came back. He
still finished
11-69. Yeah. Khalif Raymond looked good again for the second week in a row. So that was encouraging. Reynolds has regressed the past couple weeks offensively. Mm-hmm. Under now, Connor. He was hot to start, but he suffers
when he doesn't have the guys around him. He can't be the number one. He needs to be a secondary target.
We had him around him this game.
Did we? I still think you made this argument all along, but not having Chark has been, bad. And St. Brown is not himself. St. Brown dropping passes. And I'm sorry, St. Brown was unimpressive to me in this game by his own standards that he set. He is not back.
I think he dropped one, right?
A wide open one in his hand, I believe. I'm just saying, he is not back. Amon Ra St. Brown affects games better than that. And he did not. He's not back to himself. But yeah. And then, obviously not having Swift so much. But still, I think if Chark was back, that would be a huge boost to this offense. But he was our number one.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And we're still waiting for Jameson Williams. Maybe he comes back in a month and plays a few games. Snaps
or
there,
Dan,
but they're clearly waiting for him next
Dan
year.
Dan gets all cautious and puts all his eggs into next year's basket. No,
Hawk looked good again in the passing game. Three catches, but he had another big, impactful catch in this one. Nice 58 yard catch down the sideline on an out route. He continued,
he flashed in the first half.
Do we extend him? Do we not extend him?
He's getting warmer, honestly. If he stays healthy and produces games like that, though, I'd like to see him come up more in the clutch, but that's not necessarily on him. I think he's
right. Good. Like on that 4th-and-2, for instance, you think
maybe
we look for him no matter what.
Look at that guy. Who's a career number two at best down the field. That's your guy. Go to.
Yeah. No, just always throw it really deep on 4th-and-short.
With your best play as
Lions way.
Exactly right.
Early in this game, too, the Lions had, it looked like a third down stop, and they called a legal contact in the end zone. If you go back and watch it, I was very confused by the call.
I'm convinced that's their back pocket play to screw the Lions whenever they can, because we've gotten a call of a lot, and it's always so damn ticky-tack looking.
But, in this case, our defender was just sitting there, and the receiver ran into him.
That's what I mean. It's terrible.
What else is he going to do? I was very confused. That was a horrible call.
Yeah,
it's the play. It's the call. It's the call they have for us.
What do you think about the challenge? The Amon Ra, it didn't affect us at all. We scored a touchdown on the drive, anyways. Only I think 4 or 5 plays later, so it didn't have to wait long.
It affected us later, guys.
I was saying it was a catch when I was watching it. He caught it, turned, took a half a step, maybe not a full step, but
yeah, it's still weird what they define as a catch in this league.
You never know. You know.
I don't mind
you
that
know
challenge.
How it would be a catch?
Yeah, it wasn't a bad challenge. First challenge of the year for Campbell, by the way.
Hey, it was a good challenge.
It was a good challenge.
You know how it would have been a...
But in another...
Go ahead, DJ.
No, I'm just saying in other games, you would see that as a catch.
You know why? It would have been a catch if the Dolphins recovered it. Then it would have been a catch.
Right.
I can promise you that.
There was a James Mitchell sighting in this one in the first quarter. He had a nice little play, 14-yard catch to get him into the red zone. So maybe we'll see more of him in the future. And Brock Wright went out with a concussion, so that was part of the reason I think why Mitchell. But I'm not sure when that happened. Maybe that happened after Mitchell's.
Well, another one of Holmes's injured picks getting play time at least. So that's good.
Yes. The Lions moved to 1-6. This division already seems like it's wrapped up, to be honest with you.
And it's not the Packers.
Yeah, it's not the Packers. That's right. The Minnesota Vikings are the second seed right now in the NFC, and they have a 4-game lead on the Packers in this division already.
Wow.
And obviously a 5-game lead on the Lions. The Lions could have beat them too. That's the thing with the Lions. Besides, the two-game skid, or the 2 games against the Patriots and the Cowboys, the Lions should have won every one of these other games.
Yeah,
yeah,
should have is a strong word, Z.
Yeah, very true.
At some point, that actually has to turn into wins. But, you know, it is hard to believe this. I really do enjoy the 17 game season already right now, mentally, just enjoying that we still have 10 games to go. I mean, there's so much that could still happen, like, especially who knows, maybe, you know, Pleasant really was a real problem. I don't know. I mean, it seems like a stretch, but maybe we get some stuff going and we actually turn some of these close games into wins and, you know, we maybe even get 9 wins. It's doable. I'm just saying, I don't think we've looked that bad on the field overall to suggest that consistency wouldn't yield victory. Because if anything, it's been hurting us the most. It's wild inconsistency. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing you coach out. I mean, and maybe they get there like we did last year, kind of. Does Dan Campbell just always need a warm-up part of the season to get going? I don't know. We're ahead of last year.
Well, I mean, look
too.
At the Lions' schedule besides the Bills on Thanksgiving. They have the Packers twice, the Bears twice, the Panthers, the Jets, the Vikings, the Jaguars, the Giants. So they're all extremely beatable teams. Even the Vikings, like, they are not a great 6-1 team by any measure, I think.
They're just a solid team.
They've done enough to win. I don't think they'll win a Super Bowl. But
the second half of the season tells a lot, you know? There's still a lot of football left to play, baby.
There is, but the Lions are nearly already out of, like, playoff contention to a large degree. Now, they could turn around, but, I mean, it would have to be a massive...
Yeah, they'd have to almost win out.
And
you
never see it, but maybe... You know,
some of those.
I've also never seen the Lions win a playoff game in my life.
Do we not have the whole division once each, though? I mean, I'm just saying a lot of things that we can do some damage to our enemies here, too. You know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, would you rather barely miss the playoffs or have the number one overall pick and get a quarterback like CJ Stroud?
I would rather
barely miss the playoffs.
Yes. Win games, please.
Because I think that's building progress, which you wanted to see. The number one overall pick feels like a step back. I don't know. It depends on how much you believe in Stroud as the
Goff did look a lot better this week, though, stepping up in the pocket.
I'm sorry. If we have the number one pick
compared to what we saw the last
do you game. Really have faith in Dan Campbell if he coaches us to the number one overall pick this year? I'm sorry. I just believe we're better than that. And if we're finishing like that, then I'm not sure I even want to see year three of Dan Campbell. I don't want
to
see.
What if we continue to almost win games, though? You know, like the
no, world, fuck that. It doesn't even matter. We need victory, and Dan Campbell knows this.
We lead the league.
But if we get the number one overall pick to end this season without, unless it comes in some weird way where we get several more wins at the very least, I think that's a serious backslide and shows me we got the wrong guy. But I don't think that's going to happen. In fact, I think at the very least we're going to claw our way out of the very bottom of this league to, you know, at the very least, you know, picking like 7, 8, 9. Optimism.
Yeah. Dreaming big, baby. Dreaming big.
But.
Well, there was an interesting trade bait in the division today, too. Roquan Smith went to the Ravens.
Yeah.
So the Bears won't have to face him. They won't have to face Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
Or we won't have to face the Bears with Robert Quinn or Roquan Smith, two of their better defenders. I can't believe Robert Quinn went to the Eagles. That's already a team that's loaded on the D-line, and they just got a lot better. I think he went for a fourth rounder.
Fourth and a second.
Eventually we'll be adding to our guys like that. Well, I mean, that does put into perspective where we're at, honestly.
Do you think we trade anybody? I mean... Yes or no?
Who's there to trade?
Swift is the best option.
To me, the most obvious is Hawk. He's the
Swift?
Most obvious.
Swift is my most obvious.
I just don't know.
You
might be right, but...
I mean, you might be right.
Who's
What
are you going to get for Swift, though?
I don't know. Someone might give you something
good.
He's
so underperforming.
He's underperforming. He's never available. It's like, honestly, he might as well be job at best at this point. Like, he's not ineffective. He's a non... like, but the season's long. I mean, maybe they're willing to give him a chance to get right, but he just doesn't mean what is he to us? That's my question, and the answer is not very valuable. Draft picks might make him more valuable to us, though.
Yeah.
So
I can't even argue with that.
So the Detroit Free Press reported that most likely, the Lions aren't fielding calls for Hockenson. Or they haven't fielded any offers yet. But let me just throw a couple the Athletic threw out, what if Tampa Bay offered a first and a fourth round pick for Hockenson? Would you take that?
Sold!
I would probably
do that.
I mean, they're probably going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
So doing a hard
first and a third round pick for Hawk.
Well, I don't know. They're only one game out of their division at 3-5. That division's horrible.
So. As much as I like Hawk.
They're still the favorite to win the division. So they are. And they had a roster with a bunch of old guys. They are in it to win it.
Here's my question with Hawk. Do you guys think Hawk is like just missing his quarterback to be Kelce or Kittle? Or do you think he's just like, or is he not in that ballpark, or he's but I mean, no one's gonna say he's better. That'd be silly. But what do you guys think? Like, comparing him to the top.
Kelce's a different beast entirely.
The top guys, though.
Yeah, I think Kelce.
Yeah,
but Kelce's also in a great offense.
But that's what I mean. Like,
I don't think it's just Goff that separates those two.
Right.
I don't either, because we saw Stafford with him too.
Or the play calling. I mean, that's another factor. Do we go to him? I never see a seam pass to the man. I feel like it doesn't exist in
our
playbook.
We never see it up the middle.
Do coaches who coach in Detroit just not know what a seam pass is? I mean, we never seen it in any big feature. I feel like consistently, it's so frustrating because it's one of the best plays in football.
Yeah,
yeah, it is rare. Yeah. I really hope we can find somebody that'll take on Brockers. I highly doubt it, even for a seventh rounder. Something.
Oh God. I'll pay to take him off our team. I don't know why he made this roster. Veteran leadership?
I guess. Well, I mean, he's owed $10 million. That's probably why.
Yeah, but that's nonsense if you're really trying to win, in my opinion. Or you're just trying to – maybe they tell him the story. Oh, he's good enough to, you know, the difference of the men. No, I'm sorry. You probably passed on some better guys in the you know, some of those undrafted free agents or something would have been more interesting than him.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, they're paying him enough to keep him on the roster, I think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, fine, it's stupid.
But all right, I think we're good to wrap this up here. You know, we're still bubbling, with the even a day after the game has already been over.
Just stacks on stacks, baby.
We're trying to reformulate the Kool-Aid to make it more effective.
The Kool-Aid is
coming week.
This is what keeps us sane.
We're gonna add nitrogen to the Kool-Aid formula and get
vamp
more,
it up.
You know, bubbly texture like Guinness
maybe we
did.
Should put some pumpkin spice in there. Just get seasonal with it.
Yeah. Well, it was it's Halloween season. It was a scary defensive performance for all the wrong reasons this weekend. But we move on now. Now it's Thanksgiving time, and
yeah,
and we got the Bills on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Team.
That'll be the best upset game
right
ever.
Now. We got the Packers coming up. Very winnable game,
man. How big of underdogs do you think the Lions will be on Thanksgiving? 20-point underdog?
100?
I'd say 17.
It might be one of the.
Have
biggest
we ever seen 100
Thanksgiving history?
A million.
I mean, would you expect anything less than like 50 from the Bills? I mean, I just looking at the stat books, like.
The fact that it's in Detroit will probably not make it.
Why? Because teams fail to score lots of points on us there.
That's a good point, but it's a home crowd on Thanksgiving.
I mean, it is magic. Yeah. You know, it's a magic day, so you never know quite what you're gonna get. Remember that's why.
When was our last win on Thanksgiving?
It's been a minute, I think. But all right, has it been under Campbell? No.
Definitely not under
Campbell. But like, remember why Lombardi got rid of the game for the Packers, because it would have been Packers Lions forever, but he pulled them out because we kept pulling out wins even when we were worse than them, ruining their playoff hopes and stuff. I love that. So you never know. It's rival game, you know, or Thanksgiving is special. Energy's flow, you know. You never know what's going to happen.
The Lions' last win on Thanksgiving was in 2016 against the
Vikings. Oh, what?
16-13 win. I believe Slay had an interception in that game.
I need to drink.
I believe Slay.
More Kool-Aid.
I believe Slay had a late interception in that game.
I remember that game.
To set up
that
a
was
field
a great,
goal to win.
Oh, that was
that
good.
Was a great win. Yeah.
What a great trade, huh? Trading away Slay.
Fuck you, Matt Patricia. Awesome. Fuck you.
And Diggs.
Douchebag.
Well, that was Bob Quinn. Well, I guess it was Patricia.
Yeah, he
too.
Caused it. Both of them can go. Yeah.
The Lions won
off.
They won 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, and they've lost the last five in a row. Before that, They lost 9 in a row. So we're due. You know, we're due for another 4-game win streak on Thanksgiving. That's what I'm saying.
I don't like looking backwards.
It'll start this year against the best team we've seen in the NFL probably a little while. All right. So that's going to wrap it up.
On that
high. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On that note,
hey, we're going to turn it around going forward. You watch. Dan Campbell's just, he removed the tumor. The body's going to get healthy. This team's going to start humming now that Aubrey Pleasant has been taken off out of the picture. I'm telling you, 11 and 6. We got this, baby.
I put it as the Lions, you know, you talk about biting the kneecaps and getting up and biting another one. I think I put in our text thread, like, right now the Lions are maybe taking kneecaps early in the game, up 14-0, but then they'll do the surgery for you. better knees than when you started the
game. I had a high note to end on. You went back down, but that's funny.
On that note.
Yes. On that note, let's wrap it up here. So thank you to Side.
Nobody.
So thank you to Side Lion Report. SideLionReport.com for hosting the podcast. Go on there, look at all the articles. Brad Berryman probably has a lot of trade deadline stuff on there. So look at that as the trade deadline is. It's tomorrow, I believe, at like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah.
So we'll see if anything happens there. Please download this podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please subscribe and please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about the direction the Lions are headed in at this point in the season. And thank you, of course, to our producer,
KJ.
All right.
Yeah.
So thank you to him for continuing to do a great job for the podcast. And thank you to our Lady Lions as well. Last episode, we put them in there. So keep looking forward to that. Just a little segment, you know, every week, if that is your flavor. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.
Go!